Hi there, I'm Stephen Bruce, and I'm bringing you the podcast version of yet another of our research paper reviews, provided to us courtesy of the Research Review Service. And the reviewer in this case was Dr. Michael Hanelein. And the paper here is entitled A Comparison of Spinal Manipulation Methods and Usual Medical Care for Acute and Subacute Low Back Pain, a Randomized Clinical Trial. This was published in Spine Journal, and the authors, M. Schneider, M. Haas, R. Glick et al., are affiliated to the School of Health and Rehabilitation Sciences at the University of Pittsburgh and the University of Western States, Portland. So a bit of background information. Spinal manipulation therapy is used by various types of practitioners for the treatment of acute low back pain. However, manipulation was reported to be no more effective than inert interventions, sham manipulation, or usual medical care in a recent Cochrane review. And a recent meta-analysis also reported that the effectiveness of manipulation was equivocal. Only studies involving manual thrust manipulation have been included in systematic reviews until now. And the results of manual thrust manipulation studies, however, are not truly generalizable to mechanical assisted manipulation. Even so, the use of mechanically assisted manipulation amongst chiropractic physicians is increasing, especially in America, where it's the second most common type of manipulation. The activator instrument was compared with manual thrust manipulation in five previous studies, but the results were equivocal, and no trial has compared activator with usual medical care. The purpose of this study on the treatment of acute and subacute low back pain was to compare the effectiveness of manual thrust treatment with activator treatment and to compare both types of manipulation with usual medical care. So let's have a look at the pertinent results first of all. Out of 197 people who received a baseline examination, 112 were randomized and 107 actually received treatment. Two out of the usual medical care group were later found to be ineligible, and three of them never began treatment. The group's baseline variables were considered to be equivalent. Mean participant disability was 39.9 and pain was 5.7, and these are considered to be of moderate intensity. At 4 weeks, mean disability scores for the manual thrust group compared with the activator group were significantly reduced, showing a minus 8.1 point with a p-value of 0.009 further reduction in disability. Manual thrust compared to usual medical care also showed a significant advantage for the manual thrust, with a minus 6.5, that is a p-value of 0.032, further reduction in disability. On the other hand, a disability in the activator group compared to usual medical care showed a non-significant difference of only 1.5 points. P-value here was 0.609. Pain scores at 4 weeks showed a significant advantage for manual thrust compared to activator, with an adjusted mean difference between groups of minus 1.4, p-value 0.002, and manual thrust also showed a further reduction of pain over usual medical care of minus 1.7, with a p-value of less than 0.001, while the difference between the activator group and usual medical care was not significant. At least a 30% reduction in disability was attained by 75% of the manual thrust group, as compared to about 50% of the activator and usual medical care groups. At least a 50% reduction in disability was realised by 50% of the manual thrust group, whereas only 16% of the activator group and 39% of the usual medical care groups noticed that much reduction in disability. Greater than 30% reduction in pain was achieved by 94% of the manual thrust group, as compared to 69% of the activator and 56% of the usual medical care groups. And greater than 50% reduction in pain was achieved by 75% of the manual thrust group, as compared to 47% of the activator group and 41% of the usual medical care groups. And there were no adverse events reported. There's a whole lot of statistics in there, aren't there, which you probably need to read the papers to assess. But you'll see the significance of that in the rest of this review as I go through it. So looking at the clinical application of this and the conclusions, manual thrust was shown to be superior both to the activator and usual medical care groups in this study, yet the authors indicated that the magnitude of the treatment effect size and the clinical significance were modest, but they were still relevant to patients with back pain. Even though the manual thrust group performed better than the activator group, patient preference should be considered in the management of patients with low back pain. Some of them may prefer a low force type of manipulation like the activator. Nonetheless, based on the findings of this study, clinicians should consider using manual thrust when there are no treatment preferences or contraindications to high-velocity manual manipulation. Practitioner preference may also be a consideration when choosing a manipulative technique. For instance, when clinician limitations preclude the administration of manual thrust due to factors such as practitioner-patient size differences or the practitioner being physically impaired. It has previously been suggested that manual thrust and activator are therapeutically equivalent. However, this study is very much at odds with that notion. It's interesting to note that no adverse events were reported in this study, especially considering that adverse event rates have exceeded 50% of patients in some studies. Even so, the occurrences of serious adverse events following lumbar spinal manipulation are thought to be extremely rare. And the reviewer's note here is that a conversation with one of the current study's co-investigators revealed that adverse events were only reported here if they met the threshold that was required by the Institutional Review Board. They didn't report minor nuisances. Also, participants were not specifically asked to complete adverse event-related questionnaires. So let's look at the study methods here. This was a prospective randomized clinical trial that evaluated the comparative effectiveness of manual thrust, mechanical activator and usual medical care for treatment of acute and subacute low back pain. Group allocation was concealed until the time of randomization. However, neither participants nor treating clinicians were blinded as to treatment assignment. The principal investigator was blinded and didn't interact with the participants, and the collection of data and primary data analysis were conducted by a research coordinator and a biostatistician who were not blinded to group allocation. In terms of inclusion criteria, the participants were required to have a new episode of low back pain within the previous 3 months, to be at least 18 years of age, to speak and understand English, to have self-reported pain of at least 3 on a 0 to 10 scale, to have self-reported disability of at least 20 on a 0 to 100 scale. They had to agree to be randomised, they had to be present for 2 office visits per week over 4 weeks, and they had to cooperate with the follow-up data collection. Exclusion criteria included chronic low back pain of greater than 3 months duration, prior chiropractic, medical or physical therapy treatment for the current episode of low back pain, ridiculous signs or symptoms including leg pain below the knee, numbness or weakness of the lower leg, or positive nerve root tension neurological signs, contraindications to spinal manipulation, for example, a history of metastatic cancer or severe osteoporosis, fracture or instability, or prolonged anticoagulant or oral steroid use, and the current use of prescription pain medications. Participants were allowed to take over-the-counter medications for their low back pain during the study. Looking at the interventions, in the manual thrust manipulation group, a single licensed chiropractor applied the manual thrust, which involved high velocity, low amplitude thrust manipulation with the participant in side posture position. The spinal levels where manipulation was applied were determined via static and motion palpation. In the mechanical assisted manipulation group, a single certified activator methods chiropractor applied mechanically assisted manipulation to participants in the prone position using the activator 4 instrument. The spinal levels where manipulation was applied were determined using palpation and the activator method of leg length analysis. In the usual medical care group, a single medical physician who was board certified in physical medicine and rehabilitation provided the usual medical care. The participants were prescribed over-the-counter analgesic and non-steroidal medications and were told that most new episodes of back pain are typically self-limiting. They were also given advice to stay physically active and avoid prolonged bed rest. Participants in the chiropractic treatment groups were seen twice a week for 4 weeks, whereas the usual medical care group was seen a total of 3 times, the initial appointment and then at the end of 2 and 4 weeks. The chiropractors applied manipulation in the thoracic, lumbar and sacroiliac joints as they deemed necessary. However, no manipulation of other spinal or peripheral joints was permitted. All participants were given a copy of an educational booklet that gave information about proper posture and movements during the activities of daily living. And the outcomes from all this were assessed at baseline, at 4 weeks, 3 months and at 6 months. The Oswestry Low Back Pain Disability Index of Self-Reported Disability was the primary outcome measure. The secondary outcome was a self-reported pain intensity scale that was the average of three different 0 to 10 numeric pain rating scales. One was current pain, two was the worst pain in the past 24 hours, and three was the average pain over the last week. The primary comparison of groups in the statistical analysis was manual thrust manipulation to mechanically assisted manipulation. Secondary comparisons were manual thrust to usual medical care and mechanically assisted to usual medical care. In addition, participants were considered to be responders if they achieved at least 30% or 50% decreases in an outcome. So let's look at the strengths and weaknesses of this study. It was a well-planned and well-executed study that closely followed the consort guidelines for reporting randomised trials. However, it only involved a single centre and the sample size was modest, that is to say, just big enough to attain 80% power. In addition, there was no placebo comparison group, so it cannot be said that mechanically assisted or usual medical care are not effective, only that manual thrust is more effective. Furthermore, there was no natural history, i.e. non-treatment control group, so it's not possible to determine what part of the healing response was due to natural history, direct treatment effect, or non-specific factors. And as we mentioned before, it was also not possible to blind the participants or the providers to the treatment groups. Only three clinicians participated in this study, one for each type of treatment. It's therefore possible that some of the treatment response was the result of participant-provider interaction rather than the direct effect of the treatment. And lastly, some of the differences observed between the manipulation groups and the usual medical care group may have been related to the discrepancy in the number of visits participants received, 8 for manipulation and only 3 for usual medical care. The authors justified their chosen methodology as being similar to the real-world setting, where chiropractors typically see patients about 8 times and medical providers see theirs about 2 times. So there you are, another of our podcast versions of a review paper from the site provided to us courtesy of the Research Review Service. I hope that's been helpful.